Welcome, 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 everyone. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, this is Tony's Political Ramblings. And so today I wanted to talk about the Supreme Court. There's been a lot of news about the Supreme Court as of late, particularly in taking up court cases related to the supposed heartbeat bill that came out of Texas regarding abortions, as well as cases of voter suppression laws coming out of Arizona earlier this year. There's a lot of evidence now that the greatest piece of the legacy, or maybe not even greatest is the proper word, the most influential piece of the Trump presidency's legacy is going to be his nomination of not one, not two, but three Supreme Court justices in his 1 4-year term, which creates a situation where now, even though the Supreme Court is supposedly a nonpartisan organization and body, and now there is a 6-3 conservative supermajority in that court. And while they're not necessarily partisan in name, they are appointed by partisan presidents. And so, like I said, there's a 6-3 majority now and a balance of power that is skewed far to the right, and we're already seeing more conservative-leaning decisions being handed out by the Supreme Court since the installation of these three judges, Supreme Court justices, from former President Trump. And so it's made this issue more acute, an issue that in my eyes really goes a long way back. So if you look at the history of the Supreme Court, the number of justices that we had was shifting around quite a few times, actually, for the first 100 years or so of the United States' history, a little less than 100 years. It changed 6 times in those first roughly 100 years, until they settled on the number of 9 Supreme Court justices in 1869. Now, that's the last time we've made any changes to the number of Supreme Court justices. And just for reference now, back in 1869, again, when we settled on that number of 9, there were only 38.9 million people here in the United States. And so even then, you could really argue that a court of 9 people determining the fates of really 38 million is a lot. But of course, they are checked with other branches of government. However, the checks on the Supreme Court are not nearly as potent as checks on the other branches. So still, to have 9 people determine 38 million is a lot. Now, flash forward 150 or so years later, and you have 9 people still representing 329 million instead. So now we have this situation with this very small number of people representing a very large number of Americans. And so there have been calls in the past of adding members to the Supreme Court to perhaps making term limits or some sort of restriction, because Supreme Court justices, as many of you know, are lifelong gigs. Former Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who died in 2020, at the end of 2020, died serving as a Supreme Court Justice. Her last days were spent doing that job. There's really, unless a Supreme Court Justice is removed from their position or they step down voluntarily, they stay there until they die. There's no real checks or balances on that. And so as we continue to move forward here, and particularly, again, in light of this supermajority in the Supreme Court that leans very far to the right, it really defeats the purpose of a nonpartisan or at least a diverse body of voices to help interpret the Constitution for the entire United States. So I did mention a couple of different solutions that have been floating around, and the one is imposing a term limit. Now, this one, to me, I think is the most practical and makes the most sense. as do 6 out of 10 judges that were surveyed a few years back, as well as the American public at large. So there was a survey done on some judges a few years back, and it determined that, or a year or so back, that it determined that for the vast majority of them were in favor of some sort of term limit. The variation goes anywhere from less than 10 years to upwards of 20 years, but everybody kind of fell within that range who was in favor. About 6 in 10 were in favor of reducing the, or creating a term limit for the Supreme Court justices. And again, you go to the American public, there was a poll just released the other day from Fox News that said that 69% were for a sort of mandating a retirement age. And a poll conducted earlier in April of 2021 found that 63% of Americans were in favor of creating term limits for the Supreme Court justices. And so this is a popular bipartisan thing. Again, to get Americans, 63% or 69% of Americans to agree on something, that's pretty significant, particularly in the current, polarized culture war landscape that we all live in. And so to have that sort of shared belief, not only in the American public at large, but within the subsection of judges, naturally, all of the Supreme Court justices were at one point judges, to have the vast majority of those that sort of population in favor of some sort of term limit is significant. And I think it would create a situation where these justices don't have as much power. I think another option, which is adding in more justices, is something that's still a little politically controversial. But I do think that adding in term limits would create a situation where there is more of a check on judicial power. And as I said earlier in this episode, there really aren't a lot, or if there are, they're not nearly as potent as some of the other branches, their checks. One of the major checks is that Supreme Court rulings really come down to being enforced by the executive branch. And if the executive branch doesn't enforce those rulings, then they become null and void, which is what happened in the 1950s in terms of segregation, as many southern states and localities fought that when a lot of the Brown versus Board of Education ruling and a lot of the big rulings back in the 50s sort of worked to desegregate the South. A lot of the southern localities fought that. But anyway, so that's the first option. I think creating those terms would create a situation where there was less power in fewer hands. And so you'd have a constant cycling of new blood, new ideas, new people into the Supreme Court that will, A, reflect more of the values of the time, B, create a better understanding of different issues that are going on at the time. I know technology is something that is a particular relevance here, as many older members of the Senate don't know how a lot of this stuff works. And I imagine the same would be true of the various elderly Supreme Court justices. So having younger, newer, and a constantly replenished people in the Supreme Court would help to give the justices a better understanding of what's going on now. So the other option, too, is to add more justices to the Supreme Court. Now, I think, as I said, this is something that's still seen as a little more controversial politically. I don't understand why that is the case necessarily. My personal proposal for this would be to however many you wanted to add. Let's just say 6. I think that would be fair to bump it up to 15, because that way you're diluting the importance of every Supreme Court justice you add on to the mix. So in this case, when you add on, say it was a 5-4 majority we'll just say conservatives generally. If it's a 5-4 majority out of a 9 Supreme Court justice system, adding one more, if one Democrat, or one, sorry, one left-leaning, more liberal justice dies and they are replaced with a more conservative one, that's very significant. However, if you add 6 more in total, you dilute that. So say it's even 8-7, Now it's only 9-6, which isn't really as big of a jump as from 6-3, as a 6-3 margin is. So I believe adding more justices would help, and I believe it should be done by adding one, possibly two, through every administration. So I'd say one every 4 years, every term, if that makes any sense. So that way, one president and one administration doesn't have so much power over the Supreme Court, much in the way that the Trump administration had. So now you're putting a check on executive power, and at the same time, you're putting a check on the judicial power by limiting the power associated with each individual justice, and B, limiting the a power of a presidential judicial appointment. And so I think this, taken together with some sort of term limit, I believe somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 years is a good term limit, I would say, because it's long enough for them to stay along and rule consistently. But at the same time, it's short enough so that you don't have, such a long, long term that is uninterrupted and is not filled with new ideas and new people in the court. And again, though, these two taken together would put a massive check on judicial power, which in a lot of ways is really a very strong force and determines the lives of the 329.5 million Americans that live within the United States. And these rulings are significant. And so I believe it is on the federal government to create checks that actually work and create checks that that will adjust and move with the times. And as we've seen now, and as we've seen since really 1869, the Supreme Court hasn't really changed a whole lot. And it's important for us to keep updating our institutions as time goes on if we are to stay a fully functioning democracy.